Dave Isay is the founder of StoryCorps and the recipient of numerous honors, including 6 Peabody Awards, a MacArthur Genius Fellowship, and the 2015 $1 million TED Prize. StoryCorps is one of the largest oral history projects of its kind. Since 2003, StoryCorps has collected and archived more than 50,000 interviews from more than 100,000 participants. Each conversation is recorded on a free CD to share and is preserved at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Millions listen to weekly broadcasts on NPR's Morning Edition on Friday right here on WAMC. Dave Isay is the author and editor of numerous books that grew out of his public radio documentary work, including 3 StoryCorps books. An Evening with Dave Isay will be happening this Wednesday at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dave Isay back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Joe, it's great to talk to you again.
Very nice to have you back on the program. What is it like to do these events where you go out and talk about what you do?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, I'm let out of my cage. It's great. I spend most of my time kind of fundraising for StoryCorps. And actually, I'm just kidding. I love it. I love everything about working at StoryCorps. But yeah, no, we have events where we play stories, and sometimes there are people from the stories who are in the audience and talk about StoryCorps. And it's they're always moving and amazing and completely kind of inspiring for me to get to, you know, kind of bring these stories. You know, the radio, it goes over the air, and it's kind of a lonely thing. You don't really know people's reaction to it. And to be able to interact with an audience and talk about StoryCorps and play the stories and see people's reactions to them is, like, one of my favorite things in the world. It's thrilling.
Does it often surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, I it's been fun over the years as I've been, you know, doing these. You know, at the beginning when I started StoryCorps, you know, nobody really knew what it was. And I'd ask, you know, people, how many people know what StoryCorps is? And, you know, one person would raise their hands. And now it's a lot more. But yeah, I'm always surprised. I'm surprised in conversations to hear how, you know, what stories have meant things to people, different things to people, and how it's affected them. And it's always fun when there are people from the stories that I'm playing who are in the audience to have them there and to get to meet them. Because, you know, the way these are recorded, as you said, you know, we've done about close to 60,000 of these interviews now, and it's the largest collection of human voices ever gathered. And these are done with a facilitator who are these amazing people who work for StoryCorps, who travel the country in these booths and bear witness to these interviews. They're present when the interviews happen and are there to help the participants have this, you know, very important conversation, meaningful conversation. So they'll record sometimes hundreds, thousands of interviews over their career. They usually, it's a very high burnout job. It's exhausting. They usually, serve for 2 or 3 years with StoryCorps max. But I don't get to meet the people who participate. So getting out and doing a speech and getting to meet the people whose voices I've heard on the radio is really, really, really fun.
How much of what the facilitators do comes from you in the sense of your thoughts and what ultimately should be a part of an oral history?
Well, you know, the theory of StoryCorps is that we're really a public service, and we want the participants to have the experience that they want to have and to talk about what they want to talk about. So, you know, the facilitators who come to StoryCorps, and we have, you know, sometimes, you know, hundreds or thousands of people apply for one of these jobs. And they're hired because they're great listeners, and they're trained. They're very highly trained in everything from, you know, how to record these interviews to, you know, dealing with trauma, because many of these are very difficult, to editing audio. You know, we came up with a methodology at the beginning of StoryCorps, and it worked pretty well. But the facilitators are kind of adept at figuring out what it is the participants need. If the participants want the facilitators to be involved and help ask questions, they'll do it. If they want them just to be quiet, they'll do it. But the facilitators are there to serve the participants and give them, make them feel safe and give them the opportunity to have this really important conversation. We don't tell people what to talk about in StoryCorps interviews. Everybody prepares before they come. And we have on our website a question generator with, you know, hundreds of questions you can choose from. And facilitators always say to people, you know, as they're preparing to go into the booth, you know, make sure to ask that question you've always wanted to ask early on, because the, you know, the 40 minutes goes by so fast. So you know, the ethos of StoryCorps has always been one of service and, you know, giving the people the opportunity to listen to one another and to be heard.
As you look at this event coming up on Wednesday at the Mehewi, we're going to be hearing a story this morning from Will Smith, who is from Sheffield, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so Will, this is really a, one of the classic StoryCorps stories. This is an interview with Will and his daughter, Olivia. When Will was 27, he enrolled in Bowdoin College. He had been in the military service in Maine, and it wasn't only his age that set him apart from his classmates. He also had an infant daughter. He was a single dad, and this is an interview of Will talking to Olivia about that experience of being a freshman at college and having Olivia as his daughter.
Here is Will Smith and Olivia.
I wasn't planning on having you as my roommate. I actually thought that if Bowdoin College knew I had you, they wouldn't let me come to college. So I hadn't mentioned it to anyone. And I got a job working at Staples cleaning at night. And I had to take you in with me at work sometimes and hide you in the closet. I think I lost something like 27 pounds just from stress and not eating because I didn't have enough for both of us. My basketball teammates were my first babysitters. I just remember coming from class and there were four giant guys and there was this 18-month-old who was tearing up the room.
Were you ever embarrassed bringing me to class or just having me in general?
I felt a little awkward, but never embarrassed. There were times when the only way I could get through was to come in and look at you and see you sleeping and then go back to my studies. And my graduation day from Bowdoin is a day I'll never forget. You know, all of my classmates, they stood up and gave me the only standing ovation.
I remember walking up with you and having my head in your shoulder.
Yeah. The dean called both of our names as he presented us with the diploma.
So technically, I already graduated from college. So.
Nice try. That degree only has my name on it, so you still got to go.
I really admire your strength. And I love you.
I draw my strength from you. I always have, and I still do.
When Will and Olivia had recorded this interview, one of the kind of unspoken pieces of this interview, at least in the tape you just heard, is that Will had just been diagnosed with colon cancer. And sadly and tragically, Will died earlier this year at the age of 46.
Wow. How much are you able, really, as an entity, to keep up with the follow ups of these stories?
Well, you know, there's two sides to StoryCorps. One is access to the StoryCorps experience, and those are the, you know, tens of thousands of interviews we've done. And then there's content. We edit one out of every 300 40-minute interviews down to 3 minutes. And, you know, we see every interview as equally valuable. You know, sometimes it's an important, sometimes a sacred moment in people's lives. But some of them have this kind of universal quality that demand that they be shared with a larger audience. But, you know, we don't have the capacity to keep up with folks who have participated in StoryCorps. I mean, on some stories that we broadcast, which, again, is just a minuscule percentage of what we record, we'll get updates from the families, and people will write into StoryCorps who've participated and let us know what's happening. We do the best we can, and what we try and do is kind of create a community of people who've participated in StoryCorps so that, you know, we communicate with them, you know, what's happening at StoryCorps, and they can write into us. But it's hard to keep track of, you know, that many people. You know, we've had in StoryCorps, we've done 60,000 interviews, and people come in pairs, so it's more than 100,000 people. And as you said at the top of the segment, you know, we just got this TED Prize where we created this app, which has been a transformative moment for StoryCorps, where people can now record StoryCorps interviews on their cell phone. It's kind of a digital facilitator. And at the end of the interview, you can, you know, tap a button and it'll be uploaded to the Library of Congress. So the universe of people participating in StoryCorps has expanded greatly. So just in the last couple of months, close to 10,000 interviews have come in, which is twice what we typically record in a year. So the community's growing, and what we just try and do is create a wonderful experience for everybody who participates, and make sure that they have, you know, I think of StoryCorps as kind of an opportunity to have almost closure with a loved one, and be able to, you know, say the things that you've always wanted to say and you don't get the chance to say, and ask questions that don't come up in the course of kind of everyday conversations. And these can be, you know, really important conversations. And that's what we try and give people, you know, every day through our signature, you know, interviews with facilitators and now through the app. But I do know that not only will I be speaking, and I'm thrilled to be talking at the Mehewi and also to be working with the great Barrington Fairgrounds folks to do this, but there'll also be recording days at Berkshire Community College South Campus next week, where folks can participate in that signature StoryCorps experience. And I think they can, there's some way to sign up on the web, maybe through AMC even.
When did the affiliation with the Library of Congress come about? Was that almost immediate?
Yeah, you know, when I started StoryCorps, I knew we had to make a couple of partnerships. One was a broadcast partnership, and it started with local public radio stations and then became NPR a couple of years later, because I had been making radio documentaries with NPR for many years and feel very strongly about public radio. And the other was that I knew we needed an archive partner. And I had been going to the Library of Congress for many years, listening to the WPA interviews that were at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, where in the 1930s and 40s, some folklorists and ethnomusicologists had gone out and done these interviews with kind of regular people, like in a pool hall in Washington, D.C. And I loved listening to these things. And when I had this kind of crazy idea for StoryCorps, I picked up the phone and called the person who ran the American Folklife Center at the time, who I'd never spoken to before, and told her about this idea, and she said, yeah, we'll do it. So it was a very kind of courageous and amazing thing for her to say, and we've been thrilled to work with them ever since.
An Evening with Dave Isay will be happening this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Mehewi.org for more information. Mehewi.org for more information. And we have the information on the recording sessions on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Dave Isay, it'll be great to have you in town. Thank you very much for all your good work and for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much, and to you. Again, you can find out more about Dave Isay at the Mehewi by going to mehewi.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.